This morning on the message, it was like, wow. As Christians, I know you'll agree in the spirit and the truth that the whole world in America are living in this perilous times today. And we are. It seems like everything's kind of upside down. But God's in control, not us. We just think we are sometimes. So I want to share, what does that word perilous mean? It means full of danger and risk. Today, America and the rest of the world, but speaking for us, our economy and national debt is in perilous state like never before. I believe perilous, liberal, godless people who infect the world from the time of and before Christ to the rage that comes today when you speak about Christ and people turn their back and walk away. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear it. But those that are born of the Spirit, they want to hear it. We look forward to it. We look for the Christ in one another. This is not just in America. This is worldwide. Well, God's Word says in 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul told Timothy. Paul told Timothy that in these perilous times, people's hearts will grow cold, causing them to fall away from their faith. Even the very elect may become deceived if it were possible. Wow. In Genesis 6:5, God says, man's heart is evil continually, not sometimes, not just once in a while in thought. It's continually, day and night. It's like, wow. That verse stuck out. I'm going to read this 2 Timothy here. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, and brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he says to Timothy, and from such people, turn away. Does anybody know or ever met people that fit this perilous times? We call them liberals sometimes. We have different names for it. But they're godless, and it don't take long to find out. If you don't talk about it, you won't know them. It'll only be a friend talk. But a lot of times they're overpowering righteousness. They're overpowering you in the ways that you talk. This message this morning is, the more godless man gets, the worse the world will become, even if it's sassy at this time. God tells us in James 4, draw close to God and He will draw close to you in presence and blessings. I believe the Holy Spirit and God's Word can and will speak louder to your hearts and souls in these perilous times we live in today. And that's the truth. When you see things that are wrong, doesn't it bother your heart? Doesn't it bother you where they're at to even... And they just keep piling it on and piling it on deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's like, It's more agitating. But because of Christ, we can overlook that agitation. He's in control. Not them, not us. He's in control. It's like our hearts and spirit are looking for more righteousness and the omnipresence of God for our family's protection and for their blessings. I'm going to share one more little part here on I said before, God is speaking so loud. You don't need to tell anybody, or you don't need them to tell you. Can you see the perilous times in America today? And there's perilous times all over this world today, not just here. It's not just here. God is speaking so loud. And I believe that America is one of the last strongholds of Christianity. And he's speaking to everyone. I'm going to share some of the stuff that just stirs my heart, just troubles my heart. And I know yours is the same, because it's the same spirit that of Christ in us that this is troubling and it's not right. Today, there's the woke agenda in the schools. And some people say, oh yeah, but they ain't teaching that now. And some say, oh yes, they are. And I talked to a teacher and said, oh yes, they are. You just don't hear about it. We don't want trouble. They don't want trouble. But they are. It's even got to a point in Oklahoma that the girls cannot go to the bathroom two at a time, one at a time. This came up that it's called lesbianism. They got a problem with in Oklahoma, and the schools are not letting them going to go to the bathroom. I don't know if that's now or if that happened before school closed. But they're one at a time to go to the bathroom. That ain't nothing. It's unbelievable. We got transgenderism today. We got the gays. We got racism. Now they're calling them he, she's, and she, he's. And they have no rights and no wrongs today. Sex ed teaching, that's something the parents need to discuss, not teachers. That's, I believe. Maybe you believe different, but where does it go from there? And there's more and more. Like I said before, God's always in control through godly parents, not liberal people. Not the rage of godless evil that's taking place today. And it comes out with speech and anger. And dangerous shouting out of their way to control. You ever meet anybody like that? They want their way and they shout their way through. If you didn't, you will. What touched my heart was the oldest Psalms. Looking at the oldest Psalms, Psalm 1, it speaks to each individual personally. Did you ever read that? It's like some of the Psalms I like, but some of them I just read them over, you know. There's wisdom in it. But it blessed me, the oldest Psalm, and it's Psalm 1 and 1 through 6. I want to show you how it speaks out so personally. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How many times do we think about the Lord in the day or at night or any time? Verse 3 says, that person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall never wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. I'm going to come back to that verse for a second, but I'm going to read this first. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness, of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's no eternal life for them. It's ended. When they die, they're dead. They're dust. They come from dust, they're going back to dust. I want to share this with you in verse 4. About a year ago, the Lord showed me a hurricane. And in that hurricane, this is going to be brief. In that hurricane, it was in the eye of the storm, and the winds were so horrific. It's like, I don't know if hurricanes get that bad. But you know what I saw? The ungodly were in the outer part of that hurricane. And it's like I'm fishing, you know? It's like, wow, Lord, what are you showing me? And in the eye of that storm, Christ was standing in the eye of that storm. And there's no wind. And the people that had salvation, they had faith, were in that eye with him. But my God, when we looked to the outside of the storm, and it was dust, it was unbelievers that were dirt dust. It was like, it was just, wow, I just couldn't, it was chaff to me as a farm boy. You ever see chaff? It's like fine green dust, fine corn dust, fine hay dust, fine straw dust. And you can throw it in the air like this as powder. In that storm, you could see just how dark it was. It was all dust. It was all chaff. And then reading 2 Timothy later, I found, here it is again. But anyway, whew. We want to be with the Lord no matter what. And no matter what we're doing. Jeremiah 17. God's word repeats. Thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. This is not where it's at with your strength. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit in the parched places of the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes near. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from the yielding of fruit. I want to move into this part where Psalms 2:1. You know, preparing the message and what the Lord was putting on my heart and the spirit for this message. This word got me, rage. And to me it was like, what does that mean to you? To me it means like somebody's really upset. Well, the meaning of rage is dangerous, extreme, violent, evil, anger. Put that all in one sentence. It's someone with a dangerous, extremely violent, evil anger. And they shout out. They have no room to hear nothing you have to say. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, but not to them. They themselves are the truth, their own truth, their own ways, not the Lord's. You know where they're going. If they don't claim salvation, if they don't have faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to be dust. Where they come from, back to dust. That rage word was like, wow. And I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to read something to you because I was born and raised in the Catholic faith, and there's probably most of us were. And my Bible, oh, here it is. I think I left it in the pew, but it's here. I want to read this to you. Talk about rage. Listen to this. I believe this is why Christ was crucified. Oh yeah, the Father sent His only begotten Son to the cross for us. And by His blood, our sins are washed away. But I want to share this with you. And this is coming out of Matthew 27:17. Therefore, they had gathered together. Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? And verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and be heard, destroy Jesus. Pilate said to them, and 22, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And they said to him, let him be crucified. I mean, they didn't just say, let him be crucified. This is rage. Crucify him. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail in all, but rather that the tumult was rising, I'll say it, the rage was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Now people understood that and said, and all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. They, by the chief priests and the elders, were persuaded not to ask for Barabbas, a famous outlaw that was among them, and a thief, and maybe even a killer, and whatever it could be, that they had a call for Jesus to be crucified and release Barabbas. So I believe rage is what changed Pilate's mind to do when they released one prisoner. Rage is a violent way of talking with people, and there's some people can't talk any other way. Or you can't communicate unless they're loudmouths. And I'm going to go to Psalm 2 right now. And it goes, why do the nations rage? Isn't that happening today? Isn't that happening with all over the world right now, the nations raging for single things that are being done? It don't take much. It's like there's a big, you ever see these big paper nests? The hornets make the yellow jackets? You don't go around that except at night. But rage will go to them during the daytime. They're like hornets. They attack instantly. This is what rage does. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain thing? The kings of the earth, now I'm going to share this. This also is not speaking to one. It speaks to all the nations of this world. God speaks in this Psalm 2 to all the rulers, to everyone, all the nations. So the kings of the earth set themselves as, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We want nothing to do with God. Yet these same scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, these same religions that were on the face of the earth at that time, were spoken to by Moses in God's law. They don't want to hear it. They want you to hear what they think, what they say, what they feel. I'm going to continue on with that, saying to cast it away, their cords from us. Let us break the bonds into pieces. Let's break this God stuff. You ever talk to somebody, you talk about God a little bit, and I had enough of that. And I walk away. They might do it politely, or they might tell you right out, I had enough of this God stuff. They're breaking the bonds pieces, casting away the cords from us. That's what that's about. And I'm going to read further, which it's not on here. I don't think it is. I'm going to check. Oh, I want too many. Nope, that's not it. Okay, I'm going to go on with the other psalm where God's speaking to the world. Quickly, I lost it here. My bookmarker. Here it is. Listen to what God says about what we just talked about here. God says in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He's in control. I told you that before. Then the Lord shall hold them in derision. And that means it's a mockery of a disbeliever. Okay. God says, he shall speak to them in his wrath and despise or distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Wow. Just like people, if you don't know God's word, and it's like, you know what? I didn't realize this was that deep looking at Psalms 1 and Psalms 2. They're all deep. God's word is powerful. But if you don't understand it, I mean, how many times I read it, it was not there. I'm just praising God. Thank you, Lord, for opening up my heart, opening up my ears, my understanding to understand this. That's why I'm so excited to share. I have to share this today. I'm just going to go hear what this other verse says in Revelation 20 because it's powerful. Jesus says this. The letter's in red. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Saints, by your faith, you're an overcomer. You overcome Satan. You overcome dust. We don't look forward to dust. To be absent from this body is to be directly present with Christ. No dust involved in that. And it's for eternal life, not that till we end up in hell or wherever. It will be hell if you're not in heaven. So, First John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God is love. He says, we love him because he first loved us. He took our place on that cross with joy, knowing that you are here today. And those behind the cross from then till now, they're coming by their faith. Whew. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? Only through his word. Only through his Spirit and being born again of that Spirit. No other way. He also says in James, you have not because you ask not. You want to get to know God? Just like I'm asking you now. Ask him. Ask him to come into your life. Make your life better. Make your life filled with joy. Even if you hit 12 deer on the road at one time or two. Whatever it is. You can know God's in control of everything. Whether it's good or bad, his love for you cannot be known. I'm going to say this to you. The love of a father, of a child, cannot be known to that child till he himself becomes a father. At that time, that child can understand the love a father has for him. And I can surely tell you that Jesus Christ has more love for you than you can even, no matter how hard you think, you will never know that love. And it's separated. You can't understand it till you become a father yourself. And now you know the love. That child will know that love when he becomes a father. It's like it touches your heart, doesn't it? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We're overcomers. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Your faith. Your faith overcomes Satan and what he's doing on this earth. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How much more simple can it be? Get into God's Word. Get to know Him. You know, when people date, what do? They write letters. And you get to find out who that girl is or who that guy is through those letters. God sent us a love letter like no other. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. John 16, I have spoken these things to you so that you might have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, even if you hit 20 deer at one time. Be of good cheer no matter what the problem is. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And you have overcome it how? By your what? Faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Here's something. There's a lot of Christians that have a little bit of a problem maybe with this and maybe not. But he who hates his brother in darkness and walks... He who hates his brother is in darkness, and he walks in darkness, and does not know where he's going because the darkness blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to your fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to your fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome Satan. You've overcome the wicked one that come to steal, kill, and destroy what you have, what God has given you. I'm going to close, and I'm going to, it's kind of funny. Tom was telling us last Sunday, he come to the church and he unlocked the door. He come to the doors, he says, it was a bird nesting right by the door. Must have been a little religious, holy bluebird. It was nested right next to the door. So Tom said he looked in the nest. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Here's a bunch of little blue eggs in there. Well, it's a bluebird. Anyway, he says, I'm coming to the church, unlocked the door, and gone again. Well, I look in the nest and I count the eggs again. What the heck? There's a brown egg in there, a big one. But there's some blue eggs missing. Does anybody know what kind of bird that is? Brown egg. They lay their eggs in other nests. And the poor little birds have to raise this great big cowbird, be thinking it's theirs and it's not, and they gotta work like a dog to keep feeding that big thing while the other ones are starving. It's a little bit like a satanic cowbird. It's a little bit like Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hauls the bluebird eggs out, drops them. He's a murderer besides. He dropped them eggs, and you know what I'm saying? But he gave us that little story. I got one to tell you here this morning in closing. It's kind of like a testimony at our house. Gloria and I have a lot of chipmunks. But it could have been a squirrel, too. They planted a sunflower seed from the bird feeder on the south side of our driveway. And now it's probably 4.5 feet tall. I don't know. I didn't measure it. Well, when this sunflower was growing up, I seen something I've never witnessed in my life. Here it was up about this tall. It's got a tassel on that. It ain't a flower head, but it's like a tassel. And I'm telling you, I watched that thing, and it was going. It started out facing east in the morning, and that tassel head would stand up like this and follow the sun across the sky and go to the west. Now we're in the trees, so the sun pokes through the trees, and it's next to the blacktop, and it's like the sun reflects off the blacktop. Here this little flower is, and I watched the head go to the west at night. And now I looked at it, it's dark, and it's to the west. In the morning I get up, it's pointed east again. It tipped right, the whole stalk, just not the whole stalk, just the top part where the head's on. and it had a little head on, and it was facing east in the morning. Really early in the morning, it was already done. The sun comes up, well, it's facing that way, and it tracks across the sky, and it's like, my God, this is beautiful. This is a godsend. It's like it strengthens my faith more yet. I can say this, creation cries out, there is a God. Doesn't this cry out, there is a God facing the sun? I go to bed at night, and during the night it's moved over. When there's an explanation for that. The scientists are baffled with the sunflower. Science can't figure it out. They're baffled. They have no answer. I got one. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. So simple. It's a simple gospel. There's your answers. Today, I just want to say this to you. This is what came to me when I saw that. If a little flower on top of a sunflower that high, in the dark, is looking for the sun. He's turned in the dark, knowing where the sun's coming up, and follows it to the dark. And then it's turned back, waiting for that to happen. Oh, let me say it this way. What? Can you imagine what would this world look like if a man could and would be continuously looking for the sun, S-O-N, like the sunflower does? We get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, we pray our blessings of the day and go to bed that way. But what would happen if the whole world, forget this rage stuff we talked about, forget all this stuff. What if we were all looking for the sun like the sunflower? We'd have heaven on earth. I think that's where that saying come from. I'm thinking it's kind of funny, but no, really. It's like if we're all looking for the S-U-N, it's just the sun that God made. But if you're looking for the sun, S-O-N, it would change our world. Google said that sunflowers sunflower turns its bloom to track the sun across the sky by the growth in the east side of the stem of the stalk during the daylight hours and turns back around during the night, facing east, in anticipation of sunrise. At mature, and ours is mature right now, at mature the head becomes facing east, always like it's tied there. It can't move no more. The stalk becomes thicker where the sun shines on it, and it just freezes it. But they're always facing east. If man was continually searching for the sun, S-O-N, like the sunflower, someone probably never would have had invented the bracelet. They never would have had to invent the bracelet. What am I talking about? Well, that bracelet that has WWJD on it. If we were always looking for the sun, we would have no use for that. That bracelet is just a reminder. Again, creation cries out, there is a God. I want to say this to you this morning in closing. 1 John 4:4. Greater is Christ in you, saints, than anything that's in this world. If you have salvation, greater is Christ in you than Satan or anything that's in this world. So, Father, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your Word. We come here with joy to praise and honor you, give you our glory, our thanks. Lord, there's none before you and none besides you and none after you. You are the one we come, Jesus, to praise and worship here this morning. I thank you for your Spirit and how it speaks to us. Father, we pray for Tom's healing again and their safe return, Tom and Darlene's return, and the people they're with. Lord, let your Spirit bless them no matter where they're at in Milwaukee. And we pray for their safety as well. All I can say is, Lord, I love you. And I thank you with all my heart, body, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.